Lecture topic, maximizing the holiday time.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wadhakkir fa inna adh-dhikra tanfa'ul mu'minin. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Most respected mothers and sisters, the aspect of dunya is that dunya is an ever-changing place and it will keep changing. There are things that existed once upon a time, we don't see any sign of it anymore. People go to sometimes visit some ruins. So that's another entire discussion. Whereas ruins of that nature where some azab came, or even any other place where outwardly Allah knows best what the reality of things are, but destruction took place. So that's an azab in a way. For some people sometimes it's a challenge, and for many others it's azab. The same thing becomes a means of elevating some people, but it destroys others. So such places are not places to visit, not places for sightseeing and touring. Rather, these are places to avoid, and out of sheer necessity, if a person had to pass there also, then it will be a need to pass there with a lot of fear. And to pass with the deep remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Not in a casual manner and just in a kind of sightseeing and touring frame of mind. That is dangerous. We have discussed on some occasions previously the incident when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Tabuk. So he had to pass by the ruins of Samud because that was on the way, that was in the path, that was the road. So it was a very big army, more than 30,000. And so some Sahaba reached before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached there, because the army now 30,000 all over, they're walking, moving on camelback, horseback, some of them. And when they reached, now they were wells there, so they drew water out of those wells. They kneaded the dough to make their bread. Some put the water into the containers to now take along. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then approached the area. So somebody informed him that some have already reached. This is what has happened. The water from the wells were taken. Now this was the area of the people of Samud. The people of Hazrat Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, the nation of Samud. So this was the place where the azab came upon them and they were totally destroyed. They were living in these areas. So all the ruins were still there. They were long destroyed centuries prior to that. So any case, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam then immediately gave the instruction, whoever has collected water into their containers, that water must be discarded. Whoever has used the water to knead the dough for the bread, don't eat it. Give it to the animals, let the animals eat it, but don't eat it. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, first what instruction he gave, لا تدخلوا مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم illa antakunu baqin. Don't enter the places, the dwellings of those who have oppressed themselves, except that you are crying. Now this is meaning the people who oppressed themselves to the point Allah Ta'ala's azab came upon them. The oppression upon themselves, the kufr that they were involved in, the shirk that they were committing, and this was the greatest oppression. So Allah's azab came. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructing the Sahaba, don't enter this area or such areas except that you are crying. Why? Out of fear that the azab that came upon them should not come and befall you. This azab, similar azab, should not overtake you. Now the point out of this that we have to take careful note about is, which we discussed previously, the azab that came on the people of Thamud was many centuries prior to that, perhaps probably 1,000 years. Now 1,000 years later, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is passing through and he is cautioning the Sahaba that you should go from here, pass through here in a way of, with a heart filled with fear. Now what about a place where the blatant disobedience of Allah Ta'ala is taking place in a mass scale at that particular moment in time? We're talking about something happened many, many centuries prior, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is still cautioning the Sahaba, and then he himself, how he passed through, he covered his Mubarak head with his shawl before he entered this area, so that he doesn't want to see anything around also. And then very quickly he hastened through this whole area until he came out on the other end, didn't want to see anything also. Now, this is the way that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed through this place. And the Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, so many thousands of Sahaba are here, the greatest people after the Anbiya alayhi salam, were walking on that moment, in that time there. But this is still the caution and the precaution that they were given and the instruction that they were given. Don't come here casually. Now what about our situation, how weak we are and how easily we get derailed? Now if we go to a place where the blatant disobedience of Allah Ta'ala is taking place, there's free intermingling happening, people are dressed inappropriately, sometimes there's music carrying on, sometimes some other issues, and we are part of that whole gathering as such. So, these are places that azab can come. And sometimes the azab comes in a very silent manner. And in a way that people don't even realize how the azab hit them. The azab sometimes comes on the heart. The azab comes directly on the heart. And when the azab comes on the heart, what is the outcome? The outcome is that the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala gets snatched away. Allah Ta'ala snatches away the tawfiq. Now many a times, people themselves complain about their own selves. I don't know what happened to me. I just can't get going. I used to do this and that and the other. I used to recite so much of Quran Sharif, so much of zikr. I had this very deep inclination for righteous deeds. And I used to exert myself and so many things. And now, just can't get going. I try, but I just can't get started. Now when a person is free, for example, it's holiday time. The whole day is free. So now, outwardly, it should be so easy to double up the amal. Person was making one para tilawat, to make two paras, should be a very simple thing, because previously the person was making one para tilawat, was making so much of zikr, so much of tasbihat, making talim, together with 8 hours of work. Now that 8 hours of work is out of the equation for the time being. So you have 8 extra hours on hand. So now supposing a person said, no, okay, 4 hours I was still something else I was doing or giving whatever. I was traveling or something. Okay, out of the 8 hours, 6 hours went away in that. Still 2 hours extra you had compared to other times. So outwardly, it should have been so much more easier that instead of one para now to make two paras, instead of reciting Durood Sharif 100 times or 200 times or 500 times, to recite 1,000 times, because the time is available, and out of that 8 hours, still think, okay, 6 hours you gave to some other, whatever you were involved in, obviously it can't be something haram, but something within the limits of Shariat, you were relaxing, you were sleeping, chalo extra, but then it should be fine. that you can still comfortably make two paras tilawat, double up, triple up the amount of durud sharif, istighfar. But what happens? We'll say that one para also went away. That one para of the tilawat that I was making, it didn't get left at quarter also, not even one ruku. So many days went past, I didn't read anything. And the zikr, say, no, I didn't make any zikr also. So now he had extra time. When there was lesser time, the whole day of work, but so much was happening. And now with extra time and no work, and nothing happened. Why? The quick question is why, to ask ourselves why. Humanly thinking about it just on a purely logical basis, then there's no reason for that not to happen. But it's not our logic that will help us in this kind of understanding. Our logic, we'll have to take it and put it on the side somewhere. The issue at hand is that the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala was taken away. Why? Why it was taken away? Because of what was done, where a person got involved in, what was the areas that the person went to, what kind of gatherings the person became part of, how the eyes were being used, what was being entertained in the heart. So now as a result, when all this started now happening, then something left. What left? Tawfiq from Allah Ta'ala's side. Now the person has the time available, but that time is not becoming productive. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayhi, every person, illa mashallah, somebody didn't hear his name, they didn't hear his name. But otherwise he's such a great personality, many people don't know anything about him. They're not sure who he was, or where, when, which time. But they know he was a great person, that much they know. They heard his name somewhere. Very, very great Buzrug. That was the acceptance Allah gave him. That yes, indeed, he was a very, very great personality. So his one statement that he made, he said that I see the people's spending of that wealth, what Allah Ta'ala blessed them with, that wealth that they have, whatever wealth that they have acquired, when I see how they are spending that wealth, then I can determine from this how they earned it. Now we're talking about somebody who is of a very high level, and he's not just talking without thinking what he's talking, he knows what he's saying, and he's saying something very deep. He said, I look at people's spending, where they're spending it, how they're spending it, and from there, I work out how they're earning it. And then, what the explanation of this is, that if that money is going in haram, then there's something wrong about how it was acquired. If that money is going in some good avenues, it's going in a way that is earning a person the good of akhirat also, and the good of dunya side by side, but it's not just getting squandered. It's being spent in a productive manner. It's being spent, maybe even if a person spent it on some luxury, but halal luxury, and not making that the focus of life, and a person is spending it in a way that's helping others, maybe a little bit side by side, whatever other avenues that are within the limits, so then inshallah that money came in a correct manner also. But if he's going in haram, then some portion somehow got tainted somewhere. That was his assessment of it. That was his analysis, that I can see the expenditure and I can work out the income, that how it was earned. Now what is the lesson again here in this? The same lesson. That when that came in the wrong way, then the tawfiq of spending that in a productive avenue won't come, because it's wrong, it came in the wrong way. But yes, it can happen sometimes that it came correctly also. But then what a person, how he conducted himself, the barakat all went away from everything. Whatever he did, how he went about things, the barakat left. And the barakat leaves also, that too then just gets thing. The goodness is gone. The goodness is gone out of something. For example, just as a, it's not necessarily a completely applicable example, but just to understand the concept. Now one is a car, that is, everything is in order, everything is fine. And you can drive at a speed of 120, 140, I can go comfortably at that speed. But now what happened? Something happened, all the air from the tires went away. The tires are still there too. Everything is there. The tires are also there. What went away is something you can't even see, not visible, air. You can't see the air. You can't feel the air. But when that air is inflated in the tire, it can now travel at that 120, 140, 160 kilometers an hour. Because everything else is also there in order. It's not only the air. But now when the air came out, it's like the barkat came out. Now you can just maybe little bit carry on. But then now that air is out, now it starts damaging the room. Then maybe something completely stuck. So the barkat came out. Now that barkat, you want to see, where's the barkat? So show somebody first where's the air in the tire. You can see the air, can feel it, can take it out and show the person, there's the tire there, I took out the air, I will take it, give him some also, put it in his hands. It's not something that you can see, not something you can hold, but it's there, we know it's there, because we understand by the manner it's done, we realize it's there. But now the barkat of that air, that vehicle can now travel at that speed. Take the air out and it's either it's crawling at a very slow pace just to avoid any damage, but then that too gets stuck. So now that's exactly the point. When there is goodness, there is taqwa, there is correct amal, there is zikr, there is dua, there's tasbihat, there's tilawat, and the biggest wazifa, that they're staying away from sin. That is beyond all the wazaif. Then what comes? Barakat comes. Allah's pleasure comes, then that brings barakat. When barakat comes in everything. Barakat comes in the heart. And when barakat comes in the heart, many, many things, everything. But now when barakat comes in the heart, now the heart will be at peace, content. Because contentment is the greatest wealth. And when the person is content, that's the most peaceful life that a person can have. The person is content. Now, for example, one person has got everything is new still, but there's a lack of contentment. So now they keep seeing something or the other in the house, but this is no more looking right now. What is not looking right? Oh, this particular curtain, for example. This is not even 1 year old. Now it's not looking right. But why is not looking right? No, it's not looking right. Or like that child sometimes, you ask that child, what happened? Says, no, why you did this? Say, because. Say, because what? Say, because. And then the third time now, if you ask, but because what? So it'd be because again. So now that was a child now, a three-year-old, but now sometimes it carries on late into life also. Whatever, no, it's not looking right. Why not looking right? Because not looking right. So now what has happened? That something happened in the heart. What happened in the heart? That contentment went out. When the contentment goes out, nothing looks right. Because the heart is not right. When the heart is not right, nothing will look right. Now an example, a person has jaundice. Allah Ta'ala protect us from all illnesses and diseases. Person got jaundice, so now there's that yellowness in everything. Everything, especially if it is a bit heavy and serious, person can see white, whatever is white clothing, white, some page is white, can see it yellow. Everything is looking yellow. So now when the heart got devoid of the barakat, everything is looking drab. It's not looking right, it's not looking nice, it's not looking anything. But when there's contentment in the heart, our Shaykh Hazrat Chaki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to often quote one statement of his Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he used to say that sometimes I used to be eating with my Shaykh Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Rahmatullah Alayhi, and they would be eating some plain simple food, dal, just some simple dal. And he would say to Hazrat that, Hakim Akhtar, I am getting the enjoyment of biryani from this. So he used to ask in surprise that, Hazrat, this is dal, Allah's ni'mat, alhamdulillah, you make shukr for Allah's ni'mat. But this part of it, I didn't understand how you can get the enjoyment of biryani out of dal. So he said, look, I am I am conscious of this very deeply, that who's feeding me? That this is Allah feeding me. Figuratively speaking, that the hand of Allah Ta'ala is feeding me this. Because everything we eat is Allah's rizq. Whether it is some very high luxury food, whether it is some simple food, it's all Allah's ni'mat. Allah is granting it. He says, I am so conscious about this. Now because of the deep love for Allah Ta'ala, very, very deep love for Allah Ta'ala, now when this thought in the heart and mind of a person who has this deep love for Allah Ta'ala, that just now changes everything. When a person has very deep love for somebody, and now that person sent one simple hadiya, sometimes some very senior person, one person, he's got some coins all kept aside, saved up. So one very great Buzruk used to come, he passed away now. So after some, maybe somewhere he had some meal somewhere, whatever. So now the children will all come to greet him. So he would then give them, like he would have in his pocket 5 rand coins. He'll give each one 5 rand. Now many of the elder people and so on too, they'll join the queue of the children for this tabarruk now. And now they will receive this 5 rand. Now some of them are millionaires, multi-millionaires. Now they join the queue for the barakat and they receive this 5 rand. Now they've got millions, but they treasure this 5 rand more than that millions. They're not prepared to give it to anybody. It's 5 rand. Somebody tell them something, no, I'll sell you this car for 5 rand. Car. Say, no, you keep your car, I want my 5 rand. Because this 5 rand is different. You say, for that 5 rand. No, that 5 rand I won't give you. I'll give you 1,000 rand separate, not this 5 rand. So the point is why? What has changed this? It's the love for the personality. The love for the personality made this 5 rand, because now he's such a pious personality, he's such a senior person. So now that love for the person changed the love for the small bit of money. This became very valuable now. So the love of Allah Ta'ala was so intense that this simple thing became now very valuable with this consciousness that this to Allah gave me. Allah Ta'ala blessed me with this. Now when a person has that contentment and that consciousness, everything becomes very, very good for him. Nothing looks odd now. Now this is gone old and this has gone drab, whereas everything is still looking fine, perfect. Nothing wrong with it. But now to the person without contentment, everything, something will be wrong with it. So what is to be developed? Innal ghina ghina nafs. The greatest wealth is a wealth of contentment. We have spoken about these things before also. Some people got, they themselves mentioned, they got 40 pairs of shoes, they got so many pairs of this, and so many pairs of that. And why? He says, no, when I see it, I just have to buy. One student came earlier today to ask for this. Now, it's a new student, just barely some, a couple of months here now. So he came to ask, now he's coming from a wealthy background. He said, whenever I see something, then I just want to buy it. Now, because he got that money, just want to buy it. But why you want to buy it? I just want to buy it. Now, the same story. Why? Just want to buy it. No answer. There's no reasonable reply to that. There isn't any rational answer to it. So the answer is, I just want to do it. That just want to is shaitani influenced. Just do it. Shaitani influence. So now, a person doesn't do this thing just for the sake of doing it. There must be some purpose to it. A mu'min does things because there's some purpose. Even that purpose is something tangible, some benefit. But now he's got 20 pairs already. It's already too much. But that too is not enough. 21, 25, 30, that too is not enough. 35, gone to 40. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But there's still no contentment. So no enjoyment after that as well. There's still that some vacuum. There is that feeling of still missing out on something. That same story of that FOMO. Somebody asked the question some days back, how to overcome FOMO. What's FOMO? So, I know about it, but see, no, the fear of missing out. So, in any case, the time has passed, but just to now finish off on this, this is not part of the subject, but it's part of it too. It just came to mind now. So now what this person was missing out was fearing. So now he's explaining now. See, now this time of the year now, I'm now in madrasa. And now this thought keeps coming to mind that my friends, my cousins, etc., back at home. And now they're going to be doing this and that. Now it's holiday time. So now he's also new now. So now his heart and mind is still in all the times that now he was with all his cousins and friends and whoever, all whatever they were, activities they were getting involved in. But at the same time, he admitted that some of the things were wrong. But now it was for him looking like now they're going to be enjoying some fun and I'm going to be missing out. The fear of missing out. Now the concentration is getting affected. The focus is getting derailed. Now Allah forbid, sometimes people are feeling sorry for themselves because they're missing out on what? On the sin that others are involved in. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So now the example to understand this by. And imagine somebody said to us, he went to A. Now the example is not very palatable, maybe. Sort of a harsh example, maybe. But it has to bring to home the reality. So a person came back and he said, oh, he phoned from somewhere. Where are you? So he says, no, he went to Na'uzubillah, visit one piggery. So all the khinzir, all... That's a farm there now, where this is being raised. So he said, well, what are you doing there? He said, no, I'm also enjoying myself here. I'm also rolling in all the mud. You know what kind of mud there is there. So now somebody says, oh, what an exciting time he's having. I'm missing out. They're fearing missing out. So the person who asked the question started like sort of shuddering, feeling that disgust of it. How can you even, can't even feel good about even hearing the example. Well, a person who is involved in some haram, some sin, and if somebody else is feeling left out and they're feeling like they're missing out, what's the difference between this and that? That is worse. Because this you can wash yourself up externally, it'll get washed out. And that you can shower till Qiyamah, that shower won't wash this out. You can go wash yourself with the whole water of the oceans. That requires a different, because that the whole internal self gets soiled. This is so disgusting because it's going to dirty a person's clothes, his body, and it's such a najasat and filth. So obviously it's very disgusting. But just as this is very disgusting, that a person went to a piggery and this is what he's doing, then this, it filthies a person's heart more than this filthies the body. So how disgusting should this be? That's the way we have to think about it and bring that to mind. This is the ilaj, actually, the treatment that is being presented. That this is the treatment. When these kind of thoughts come, shaitan will put those thoughts, but then you run with it, you're going to fall hard. So don't run with the thought. Counter the thought in this manner. And inshallah, it'll become a great protection for us. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala save us from all the things that earn the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala protect our iman, our amal. Keep us steadfast on deen till our last breath. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayhik anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله.